What a great song to sing. What a great decision to make. That's easier sang than lived. But it begins with a decision. It begins with a commitment and then walking that commitment out every day. Well, this is the time when we release our children and volunteers to Children's Church. I want to invite you guys to head back in that direction. Those of us that are left, if you'll take your Bible and turn to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. Jonah is in the midst of the minor prophets, so might be easy to go to Matthew and take a left turn for a few books. It's after Obadiah. If you find that one, move right. Now, what is it when you hear the word or the name Jonah, what pops into your mind? Jonah and the fish. And we've been talking about that story. We've been taught that story from the time we were, two or three years old. You get to hear about Jonah and the big fish, Jonah and the whale. And there's so much more to the story, the life of Jonah, than just the big fish. And what we're going to do is we walk through this event, this book in the Bible, this retelling of what happened to a wayward prophet and how God teaches us even through waywardness. And so if I'm going to title this series, I'm going to title it Jonah, What We Can Learn from the Wayward Prophet. Because there's so much that we can understand, so much we can understand about God, so much we can understand about ourselves, so much we can understand about the heart of God towards sinners, and so much we can understand about the heart of God towards His wayward people, His children. And so there are a lot of things in this book. There are a lot of lessons to learn from this prophet who was a runner, this prophet who did not want to do what God wanted him to do, this prophet who held bias and hatred towards a group of people that God sent him to prophesy to and to hopefully turn their hearts towards the living God and find forgiveness for their sins. And so as we look at it, I think you will see the truth about Jesus and the Messiah, because Jonah is a picture, a forerunner of Christ. He is a picture of the Savior to come. But he is also a picture of us. Because if you've been a follower of Christ for very long, there have been times in your life when you weren't a very good follower. So we all struggle with that. And we all struggle with the fact that sometimes we don't do what we know we're supposed to do. And how does God respond to that? And does it disqualify me from being used by God? And how does God continue to draw us to Him and pursue us? So much we can see in this letter. Now, most people, and even before I started kind of studying for this, most of the time we think of Jonah as a one and done. This is the only thing you think of when you think of the prophet Jonah. But Jonah was a recognized prophet. There was more to Jonah than just running from God, more than just prophesying to Nineveh, more than just the big fish. Okay? If you look in Scripture, there's one particular in 2 Kings 14:25, Jonah is identified as the prophet of Gad-Hefer. That's where he lived. And so he's talked about in 2 Kings where his prophecy comes true. And so he's recognized by the people as a prophet, because what determines if someone is a true prophet of God or a false prophet? Does what they say happen? Okay? Does God act, or does God do what this man said God is telling him he's going to do? So Jonah is established as a prophet. He's not some no-name guy. He's not somebody that nobody knows of. He's not some minor prophet. He is a spokesperson of God, and God has used him before to speak prophecy over the people, and God has brought that prophecy into fruition. So Jonah's not some fly-by-night guy. Jonah's not just another Jew, okay? Let's begin, if you will stand with me. We're going to look at the first three verses today and see what we can glean about Jonah and what lessons we can learn. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose up and to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship that was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, as we look at this prophet, this man, this example of someone who just did not want to do what you wanted him to do, had been faithful in the past, but now was struggling against your command, was struggling against your grace, was struggling against your heart of forgiveness towards even our enemies. And so God, as we look at this passage, I pray that you would open up my heart and my mind, anoint my words, give me the things to say, but then open up the ears of your people that we can hear what you have for us. And we can see your heart. And we can see our own waywardness, our own bigotry, our own hatred for people, and how it so often gets in the way. God, I pray that you would use this time for us to again to choose to serve you, no matter what, to reaffirm what we've already stated, and to walk it out in our life. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for this beautiful, beautiful life of a wayward prophet. Teach us through it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So just a little bit of background. Again, Jonah is a well-known, he is an established prophet. He is kind of a contemporary of Obadiah. He's earlier than Isaiah, and he has been prophesying in the region for a while, but now God is told him to do something that really he doesn't want to do. Now I'm gonna confess, I've always tried to be honest. I've been there. It happened when I was a teenager. I knew God wanted me in the ministry. I did not want to do that. I wanted to be a teacher and a coach. I wanted to coach football. I wanted to play football. And so I ran from God for a while. I knew that's what God wanted me to do, but that's not what I wanted to do. But there's been other times in my life. That's a big thing. That's something that lasted till I was about 30 years old. But even after I surrendered to the ministry, even after I became a full-time minister of the gospel, even after I have become a preacher and I have been on staff at different churches and I've been here, there are times when God says, this is what you are to do, that I just don't want to do it. Can I get an amen? If you've followed God long, if you've intentionally tried to serve God with your life, you have been challenged to do something you don't want to do. And sometimes, praise God, sometimes we give in and say, God, I know you know I don't want to do this, but to the best of my ability, to the best that I can, I'm going to be obedient. And God, help me develop a right attitude. Help me do it with love. Help me do it with patience, not begrudging, not arguing, not doing it because I got to. God, change my heart. Change my attitude and help me do what you want me to do. Sometimes I've done that. And I'm sure there's been times when you've done that. Didn't want to do it, but you were in the Spirit, and man, you were in obedience. You said, God, I want to do this. I want to be obedient. And so just help me be obedient. Help me do it with the right attitude. You know what real obedience, you know how you define obedience? Most of the time we define obedience as doing what you're told, right? Well, that's not necessarily obedience. I can do what I'm told with a really lousy attitude. That was not the word I wanted to use, but lousy attitude. And that's not obedience. You can tell your kid, go clean your room, and they can go in there and they can take what they've got and shove it under the bed and get it out of sight and fuss and gripe and grumble and walk back out and say, okay, it's clean. They did what you told them, but they had a lousy attitude while they were doing it. That's not obedience. Biblical obedience is this. You may want to write this down. Doing what you're told, when you're told, with the right heart attitude. That's obedience. Most of the time, when it comes to doing something difficult, this has been my heart and my I don't say my heart because I don't want to be this way, but this has been my reality many times. Okay, God, I'm going to do it, but I ain't going to like it. That is disobedience. Okay, Mom, I'm going to do it, but I ain't going to like it. It's not obedience. Okay, God, you said I got to love them, so I'm going to love them. Don't mean I got to like them. It's not love, that's not obedience. Obedience is doing what you're told, when you're told, with the right attitude. That's true for our children. It's true for us as employees. It's true for us as Christians. To do what we're told, when we're told, with the right heart attitude. Now, does that mean we're always going to have the right attitude? No. Sometimes we have to pray that prayer. Well, let me back that up. Let me rephrase that. Oftentimes we have to pray that prayer. Okay, God, I know this is what you want me to do. I know this is what your word says. And you know I don't want to do it. So God, change my heart. God, in the process, I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to study your word. I'm going to walk in obedience. And God, right now I don't like it. But God, in the process, change my heart and change my attitude. Most of the time, our prayer is not change me. It's change the circumstances or change that person to where I can love them now or I can like them now. We want God to change them where God's desire is first and foremost to change us. And so when Jonah hears this word from God again to go and prophesy, it's something that he's normally willing to do. It's something that he has done before. It's something that he knows is his calling. He knows that's the role he plays in the kingdom of God. And so God calls Jonah the son of Amittai. Now, I'm probably not pronouncing that last name right. But the names are important. All right, Jonah means dove or beautiful. A person of peace. I mean, dove is a symbol of peace and love. That's what Jonah was named. Was Jonah acting very loving and peace-bringing? Was he acting very beautiful in this point in his life? No. Well, we are called Christians. Little Christs. Do we always act very Christ-like? No. No. So there's a lot more Jonah in us than we want to admit. Now, let's look at his father's name. Jonah, the son of Amittai. Jonah's father, his name means truth. He was the son of truth. He was to be a peace bringer. He was to be a lovely person. He was to be the mouthpiece of God. Jonah's name means dove, peacemaker, or bringer of peace. His father's name is truth. None of this matches his behavior. He's got the truth. He knows the truth. He knows he's the mouthpiece of God. He knows he's the messenger of God. He knows he's supposed to bring the truth of God to the people. And he's cool with doing that to the Jews. But God tells him, this one who is to be the mouthpiece of God, the messenger of peace, the arbiter of truth for the people, he tells him, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it. Now, Nineveh is the capital city of Syria. Syria is the world power at the time. Syria is known for their barbarity, I think is a word. They're a mean people. They are vicious when they conquer you. They don't come and fight fair. And when they take people captive, they treat them very poorly. They are the scourge of the world. They are dreaded by all the world. They have been hateful. They've earned their reputation very proudly. And they bring fear upon everybody because nobody wants to go up against Syria, because if they do, it's going to get ugly. Even if you surrender, it's going to be bad. So this is a horrible people who've been attacking and been probing the northern kingdom and Israel and Judah, and they're threatening to take over them. But God tells his man to go to Nineveh, the capital city of the Syrian people, and declare to them, to cry out to them, to herald to them that God's punishment is about to come. He says, go to them, for their wickedness has come before me. So we understand who Jonah is, but what do we learn about God? It's something that we know, we often say, but we often forget. God knows everything. He's not just focused on the Jews. He's not just focused on Judah and Israel. He's not just focused on his people, because he is for all the world. These Gentiles, these non-Jews, these haters of God, these worshipers of false idols, these oppressors of people, these who terrorize the world, God is concerned about them. God knows what they do. God knows what's going on. God sees their evil. God is absolutely keenly aware of how horrible they are. But yet, he sends a prophet to cry against them. He sends a prophet to warn them of coming destruction. Now, what does that mean for us? How can we take this truth about God, that he's not only concerned about the Jews and his people, he is concerned and he sees and he knows what all the rest of the world is doing. He knows the evil that's going on. He knows the terrible things that are happening. He knows what ISIS and Al-Qaeda and the radical Muslims are doing. He knows all of that. And what is his desire? That they would be saved. His heart is for forgiveness. His heart is for them to be reconciled to him through Christ Jesus. His heart is for his man, his person, his people to take the gospel to them, not to isolate themselves from them. I'm just going to tell you, that is not a popular truth among Christians. We want to do like Jonah. God, they're terrible. They hate you. They hate your people. They're massacring Christians all over the world. They're burning churches everywhere. They're persecuting Christians every day. They're burning them alive. They're cutting their throat. They're cutting off their heads. They're throwing them in prison. They're killing and raping their wives and their daughters. And you want me to take the gospel to them? You want me to take to care what happens to them? You want me to not hope that they go to hell and spend an eternity in a special, painful, terrible place in hell? You want me to care about their eternity? That's the same thing Jonah struggled with. See, we have got to understand the truth of God's heart. God's heart is that no one should perish, but that all would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you and I are the Jonahs of today. You and I are given the responsibility of taking the gospel, taking the warning, taking the hope, taking the love, taking the offer of forgiveness to those who absolutely hate us and want to conquer us. It's a little thing called the Great Commission. Go therefore unto all the world, making disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all the things that I've commanded you. See, Jonah is not just a one-time event. Jonah's reality, Jonah's life, Jonah's assignment is our assignment. We're to take the gospel to those who hate us. We're to take the gospel to that agnostic that doesn't want to hear it. We're to take the gospel to those professed atheists who just want to argue and don't. We are to go to them and be able to explain to them the gospel, explain to them why we have this hope, explain to them why we believe what we believe. Not just tell them what the Bible says, but to tell them why we believe. What's the evidence that it's true? Are we preparing ourselves? Are we willing to go to the people that are the hardest to go to? Because that's who God has sent us to. It wasn't just Jonah's assignment. It's ours. We are the ambassadors of Christ. Paul says that we are ambassadors of Christ. And we make the plea as if God Himself is saying, "Be reconciled unto me through Jesus Christ." That's the same thing He told Jonah to do. Go to the city of Nineveh. Cry out before them because their wickedness has come up before me. Now this word "come up before me" doesn't mean that God was surprised by it. Okay? It's just that it has grown, their wickedness, they're not getting any better, they're not turning to God on their own, and it's about to get to the point where I'm fixing to pass judgment on them. I'm fixing to destroy this great city of Nineveh if they do not repent. Judgment is coming. So the heart of God towards the wicked people of the world, the heart of God towards those who hate Him the most, the heart of God towards those people who are the greatest threat to Christianity and to His people is what? Reconciliation and forgiveness. Yes, there is a day of judgment coming. Yes, God will judge evil. Yes, God will cast those who reject His Son Jesus and reject His offer of forgiveness. He will cast them into hell. They will continue for eternity to have His wrath rest upon them. But God does not want His wrath on them. God wants to remove His wrath. That's why He poured out His wrath upon His Son Jesus on the cross. He wants them to experience forgiveness. He wants to be reconciled to them. He wants them to have their sins washed away through the blood of Jesus. He wants them to experience His grace and His mercy. He wants them to experience His presence, not His wrath. Now, it's easy to talk about ISIS. It's easy to talk about Muslims. It's easy to talk about this existential threat that's out there that we're not experiencing. But we can bring that even more personal. Who's the person that hurts you the most? Who's the person that has treated you the worst? Who's the person that has caused you the most agony and hurt? Who's the one that is the thorn in your flesh? Who's the one that's the destroyer of your happiness? Who's the one that you just don't want to be around? They're your Nineveh. Preacher, you're meddling now. They're your Nineveh. God wants them to experience His forgiveness and life-changing presence. He wants them to experience His grace. He wants them to experience the power of His resurrection, the new birth, the new hope, the new joy that can be theirs. He wants to transform their lives, but most of the time, He wants to do it through you. They are your Nineveh. That's why when we say, well, okay, God, I'm going to love them, but I'm not going to be around them. Okay, God, I love them, but I ain't got to like them. God, I love them, but I'm going to avoid them. It's just better if I avoid them. You're not loving them. It's disobedience. You're running from your Nineveh just like Jonah did. And he says that when Jonah got this word, immediately, it says, but Jonah rose up, and there was a sense of immediacy about this. He didn't have a week of praying and wrestling with God and coming up with a plan and where I'm going to. No, it says he got up, he rose up, and he just took off. He said, I'm going to go anywhere but where God wants me to go. I'm going to flee the presence of God. I'm going to go to Tarshish. And notice why he went. What was he running from? The presence of the Lord. I'm going to go to Tarshish. He wasn't planning on going to Tarshish to party and to rebel against God. He wasn't going to be a bad guy. He wasn't going to forsake his faith in the Lord. He was just going from the presence of God. And if I can just get out of the presence of God, if I can get away from the voice of God, if I can just get away from the presence, and I won't have to deal with this. So he's running from the presence of God. I can testify as a witness. I've been there, done that. You cannot escape the presence of God. I ran for a lot of years. I ran to places that I thought for sure God's not here. God would never come to a place like this. God would never be involved in this. He was there. I could never escape the presence, the Spirit of God. The psalmist says, where can I go to flee from your presence? If I go to the highest heavens, you're there. If I go to the deepest of Sheol, you're there. If I go to the darkest caverns, you're there. If I go to the other side of the world, you're there. Wherever I go, the Spirit of the Lord is there. He understood that, and we know that. God is omnipresent. We know that when we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit moves in us, and He's always in us. But we still have this Jonah in us that says, I can run from God. I can get away from this. You know why so many people leave the church? Well, if I just don't go to church and I don't hear the sermon, if I don't hear what God's saying, if I don't read my Bible, then I don't have to, I won't hear from God. God won't speak to me. I can run from God because I run from the church. I run from the Scripture. No, if you're saved, you got the whole church in you. If you're saved, you got the whole Word of God in you. If you're saved, you have God Himself in you. And we, just like Jonah, we know the truth. We've had a relationship with the Lord. But yet, there comes a point, if we rebel, if we say, no, God, I'm not going to do that, what the first thing we want to do is we want to get out of His presence. And when we're not living for the Lord, we know we're not living for the Lord, when we know we're not treating people, those people that hurt us, when we know they're this person that God wants me to love and to show love to and to share the gospel with, to show the love of Christ to, that has hurt me, that has abused me, that has rebelled against me, that has done whatever, that is just hateful and not kind and causes me all kind of stress and all kind of problems, that's our Nineveh, and we know that, but yet we think, okay, I'm just going to run from him, I'm going to stay away from him, and if I don't get around him, I'm not going to be convicted by God to say something and feel bad because I don't. And I'm just going to run from God, or I'm going to run from church. The preacher's always talking about how I'm supposed to be obedient with the Lord. I'm supposed to honor him with every aspect of my life, and I'm supposed to give this up for Jesus. I'm supposed to not do this, but I want to do this, and I enjoy doing this, but I know God doesn't want me to do that. He wants me to live in purity, and he wants me to live in this way. And if I just avoid church, then I can avoid God. I can avoid Christians. I don't have to be reminded. You will always, if you're a child of God, you will always hear the voice of God calling sin, sin, convicting you of what you're doing, what you're thinking, whatever that sin is. God will always convict you of that if you're saved. He will never leave you in peace. He will never leave you in joy. He will never let you do what you want to do in rebellion and enjoy it. Your life will be miserable. I can testify because I've been there. But the beautiful thing is, with every word of conviction, with every weight of conviction, with every time we begin, so there just comes these moments of clarity where I know I'm not doing right. I know I'm not living right. I know I'm not treating this person right. I know I'm not being the hands and feet of God. I know I'm running from God. Every time we get that moment of clarity, we're convicted and we feel guilty, but the beautiful thing is, the purpose of that moment of clarity is for repentance. Repentance. Every time God convicts us of sin, He offers the grace for forgiveness. Every time. Even when you don't recognize it, even when all you focus on is the conviction, all you focus on is the guilt and how bad I feel, I know I should be doing different. That's the moment God is telling you, this is sin. I want to forgive you. It's the moment where grace and mercy is extended. With conviction always comes grace. Jonah rose to run from the presence of the Lord. Jonah knew what God wanted him to do. Jonah knew he was to be the voice of truth and peace to a wicked people. And he chose to run, hoping that God would just go ahead and destroy Nineveh. That was what he wanted. They deserve it. They've earned it, and I'm going to enjoy seeing it. I'm going to enjoy hearing about it. I can't wait till they get what they got coming. I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to celebrate when it happens. That is so far from the heart of God. How many of us, that's our attitude towards our Nineveh? They've earned it. I'm just going to avoid them. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to take the high road. But when it happens, I'm going to throw a party. That's the Jonah in you. That's not what God wants. It's not the heart of God. So, we see in this couple of truths. One, we all got a little Jonah in us. Number two, the heart of God is that all would come to repentance. And the purpose of God is that you and I would go to our Nineveh. Be the peacemaker between them and our Father of truth. So today, maybe you're like Jonah. You're at the start, maybe in the middle of your running from the presence of the Lord. You're in church. You're here. I understand that. But you're still running. And man, you are fighting. You are in turmoil right now. Don't make him put you in the belly of the fish. The guilt you're feeling, the truth that you're feeling right now is conviction. And the proper response is repentance. Confession and repentance. And say, God, how can I reach my Nineveh? How can I be a peacemaker for my Nineveh? Maybe, just maybe, you're here and you've never accepted Christ and you know you're the Nineveh. The wrath of God is on you. Today you've heard the truth that God's desire for you is for forgiveness. You've been wrestling with the truth. You know you've heard, but you've been running. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to confess and repent. Surrender your heart and your life to Jesus. His desire for you is for reconciliation and love, forgiveness. And then let you be one who goes after another Nineveh. Maybe you're here and you know that you've had that same heart of Jonah, not necessarily towards any one person, but you just haven't, you play avoidance with a lot of people because it's just not comfortable. They're not nice. They want to argue over things. You say, I love them, but I'm just going to avoid them. You know what you're saying? Now, this is going to sound harsh. I don't care if they go to hell or not. That's just the truth. And some of them were hoping they do go to hell and get what they deserve. But be reminded, you're not getting what you deserve because of the grace of God. And the heart of God is for them to repent. The heart of God is them to experience His love and His grace and a new life in Christ Jesus. And your call is the call of Jonah. Go to him. Share the gospel. Whatever part of your life you're in, maybe you're in a place where you've grown and you're doing well. Praise God. Thank Him for the grace He's gotten you through when you were a Jonah, and pray that He will strengthen you not to be Jonah in the next time. Because it's coming. He's going to ask you to do something that's uncomfortable and hard to do. And you're either going to run from it, or you're going to be obedient, do it, when He says, with the right heart attitude, the heart of Jesus, and see what God will do. Whatever it is that He's saying to you, let's stand, and you say yes to the Lord. If you want to come and share,